Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are and will be listening around the world. We are very pleased that you find these messages worth coming to and downloading on our internet site, sojournershub.org. We have them there in MP3 for you so that you can listen to them on your computer or put them on your MP3 player. We've been doing a series on resurrection, and we are still in that series, and the message this session is faith resurrected. And our scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. I will be reading from the New International Version, because that will enable all the people who speak English around the world to understand the words with the same meaning. Since in various areas where English is spoken, the words sometimes have a slightly different meaning. We like to use the New International Version, the NIV, to make it as easy as possible for people to understand the Scripture. So beginning in verse 1 of Hebrews 11, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man, when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away, for before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore." Here ends the reading of our scripture verse. What is so important for mankind to understand is faith is paramount in relating to God. Let me say that again. Faith is paramount in relating to God. Faith is the most important thing stolen from mankind by Satan. Many, when they first hear the gospel message, are quick to hear and receive its truth. Then the soulish reasoning, the reasoning of the person's mind, begins to come into play. The mind was given the five senses to experience the natural environment, and therefore experience just the natural surroundings of the natural body. This experience is a 24/7 experience, and thus can become the only input or data, if you will, the only data, understood and accepted as real. But you see, what happens is we experience sensory drift. Sensory drift then takes place. It is vital that a person allow the sensory receptors of the heart to continue to function and to build up strength. You see, we only usually think of our five senses, but there are sensory receptors in our heart, and these are spiritual receptors. And it is this must continue to function and to be built up, strengthened, and developed. It is these receptors which permit the understanding of the need for Jesus the Christ. The heart or the spirit receptors then work utilizing the mind to be in submission to the true eternal authority and submit to the promptings of the Heavenly Father to receive Christ. You see, these receptors are the ones that override what we usually think of as the five senses and help us to see what our eyes cannot see, help us to hear what our ears cannot hear, help us to touch the things in the spirit that our physical bodies do not touch. Help us to smell the sweet savor of the fragrance of God. Help us to understand the things of God. These are the things that are spirit-driven. This spirit-driven contact with God must also be 24/7. You see, we're accustomed to our five senses being 24/7, but we must bring ourselves into such a position that the spirit-driven contact is 24/7 as well. The 24/7 experience, which will prevent the natural temporal mind from dominating an eternal understanding. Because if we say it's only what we see that we believe, if it's only what we touch, see, feel, taste, those are the only things that we believe, then we're missing the taste of the Lord, for He is good. And the Scripture tells us to do that. We taste of the Lord through our relationship with the Lord. The doing of such a thing will keep the correct relationship between one's spirit being in control of one's mind, rather than one's mind being in control of one's spirit. Because our mind will be renewed as our spirit is strengthened through our relationship with God. This proper ordering of awareness will keep a person from ever leaving their first love and passion for Christ. Doing this, the believer will not find themselves being admonished to return to their first love when they first found Christ. Or should I say, when Christ first called to them and found them and they realized who Christ was. In Revelation 2:4, it speaks of this very condition among those who called themselves Christians. God acknowledged to the Ephesians that they were industrious, laborious, active, troubled, patiently enduring, and how they could not tolerate wicked men and had tested and critically appraised those who called themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ. And they were not found to be imposters and liars. They had borne up under trials for Christ's name's sake. These are some of the things that the Ephesians did. And they did so without fainting or becoming exhausted or growing weary. All of this is true. However, they had lost their first love, their first contact and close faith in the spiritual connection sense. They had lost this. They had settled into a sort of a humdrum life of all these things they were doing. They were doing all these labors. They were being so industrious. But they had lost their first love. You see, the Ephesians were commended for their works, but chastised for not maintaining or growing in that spiritual, that very special spiritual bonding with God. We can all do those very same things. We must remember that it is not our works, but our relationship. Yes, we are called to do good works, but that's only one side of the coin. That's only one part of what we've been called to do. We've been called to minister to other people with the Word, but we've been also called to minister to God with praise and worship, with our love and affection for Him and the things of Him. These are the things that we must keep paramount. Because if we will do that, the labor is not that difficult, because we will find ourselves walking in such a great anointing to do the things for which we have been called to do. We must resurrect our first love faith. We must resurrect that faith and walk in that faith and abide and live and function in that faith. Resurrected faith is faith which returns and builds the spirit with a 24/7 spiritual awareness and bonding. This cleaving to God permits the original joy of God, the original joy in the Lord, which is our strength. This comes into us, into man's relationship with God, and causes us to flourish in that relationship. It is the joy of this experience, then, that permits spiritual strength. Without that joy of the Lord, we have no spiritual strength. This spiritual strength enables the influencing of the natural world, just as Jesus did when he calmed the storm, healed the blind, or raised the dead. It is the faith relationship which engenders and creates the Garden of Eden relationship. The Garden of Eden relationship, which was God's intention for each and every part of mankind to enjoy, experience, live in, function in. To be in that garden with all the needs met, communing on a daily basis with God. To have that peace of mind, that peace of understanding. To have nothing missing, nothing broken in our relationship with God. Oh, my friends, that is so very, very important. So, this is all restored by Christ. This restores man's original authority to those who are in Christ. But look at that last verse, verse 12. It says, well, let me back up to verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he passed age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful, him being God, you see, faithful who had made the promise. We must consider God faithful to the promises that he has made to us. And then in verse 12, and so from this one man, now listen to this, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead. You have to remember, these people were around 100 years old. And he as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You see, if you've lost your first love, I will tell you something. You're not having children in the Lord. You're not talking to people about Christ. You're not bringing people into that same relationship that you had when you had that first love. When you first accepted Christ, you probably wanted to talk to people about him. You probably wanted to share him with the people you encountered. You wanted them to have what you have. Might you now be as he was at that elderly age, as good as dead? Are you as good as dead in your faith? Does your faith need resurrected? Do you need to be walking in that same excitement, that same joy, that same understanding, that same faith that you had originally? And you say, oh, but I've wasted so much time now. So many years have passed since that day. For many people, this won't just be a year or two. This will be a decade or two, or three or four. You say, how could I, being this far in my walk with Christ, yet bring about a whole nation? How could from me and my witness come descendants, spiritual descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky, or as countless as the sand on the seashores? How could I do this now? Maybe in your Christian walk you've blown it a few times. Maybe you feel like you've lost your witness, that nobody would listen to you. Oh, no, no, my friend. You see, if after all you've been through, you can still demonstrate, you can still speak of that love for Christ and his love for you, you're showing people that they didn't have to be perfect themselves. You say, but how could I do that? You see, because God looks on the heart. If God could put in Abraham, if he could put in Sarah, the ability to rejuvenate their physical bodies at those really advanced ages to have children, he can do the same for you in the having of spiritual children. No, my friend, it is not too late. No, my friend, as a matter of fact, it will cause people, I would say, to be even more excited that you've realized. All you have to do is say, I've been doing the wrong things in following Christ. I've been doing the wrong things. All my love for God was there, but I've been doing the wrong things. In my heart, the love was there, but in my behaviors, it wasn't. Well, my friends, let me tell you. Then how does that make you different from Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus, whose heart was for God, but his behavior was absolutely in the opposite direction that God would have him going. And Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus. And on that road, he immediately realized and said, Lord, what would you have me do? You can ask that very question right now. I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care how you say, well, in my heart, I know there's a God. In my heart, I know that Jesus saved me. In my heart, I know I love him. But I just haven't been able to translate it into my behaviors lately. My love has grown a little cold, that first love. All you have to say is, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to tell people. I want to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. I don't care how old you are. God can reach in there and fill you again with that power, with that knowledge, with that love, with that zeal, with that faith. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will resurrect your faith just as surely as he resurrected the body of Christ and all of those others that came out of the grave and went back into the city. He wants to do that. He wants your descendants to be that. That's why he sent Jesus the Christ. No, my friend, your life is not over. You're not as good as dead. You are alive. Resurrect your faith. Resurrect your faith. Resurrect your faith. And have more offspring than you ever thought possible. These are the days that will bring many troubles to people. And you have in you decades of knowledge and understanding. Oh, perhaps you haven't voiced them as you would have, but you can. He will give you the words. He will anoint you. You have been anointed, but he will rejuvenate your anointing. And you will be able to serve and do above and beyond anything that you could ever ask or think. Above and beyond the stars of the sky or the sands on the seashore. Resurrect your faith. Resurrect your faith. Resurrect your faith. That's my message to you. Resurrect your faith. It is never too late to resurrect your faith. If you need to, just go to the Lord now and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I resurrect my faith. I will that my faith be resurrected. There are so many I see floundering and drowning around me. And I do have the knowledge, I do have the understanding, and I do have the love for you. Bring them to me. I will be faithful. If you pray that prayer, he will do it because he said he would. He will bring them to you. And you will bring his word to them. And you will have spiritual children that you can bring them the nourishing word of God. If you need some help doing this, or maybe you've never accepted Christ, do it now. And you need some help, you contact me, The Sojourner at SojournersHub.org. We'll be glad to work with you. We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to encourage you. You can also reach us on Skype. You can reach us at The Sojourner 3734 on Skype. We'll work with you. We'll help you. So now I give you this blessing. And I give you this blessing. And listen to the words of this blessing. Because this blessing will resurrect your faith. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, by adoption, or by assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.